Our scripture today is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 27, verses 5 through 10. And verse 17. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. He who is full loathes honey, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. Like a bird that strays from its nest is a man who strays from his home. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of one's friends springs eternal from his earnest counsel. Do not forsake your friend and the friend of your father, and do not go to your brother's house when disaster strikes. Better a neighbor nearby than a relative far away. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So this morning, before I begin the sermon, just a couple words. We're starting a new sermon series called Real Messages. We're going to look at four movies. This week we're going to look at, the movies will really function as illustrations. I will not be preaching from movies, in case you're concerned that I've replaced your holy book. I have not. But they're good illustrations. Next week we're going to be using the movie Toy Story 3. We've got more kids in church. We've tried to choose some movies that are more child and family friendly. And so I think that'll be good. Primarily what I'm really trying to do is model for you discussions that can arise after you watch a movie that can then be faith discussions. The truth is, we as Americans spend millions and millions of dollars on movies. Americans invest a lot more in movies than they do in church, for instance. And so I would encourage you to think about movies then as a teaching opportunity. And when you come out of one, I find that when I go to movies with a friend or with members of my family, when I come out of seeing a movie, if I run into somebody who's also seen it, the movies I like tend to be movies that accentuate values I hold, or movies that make me think about the values that I hold. The movies I tend not to like are movies that create friction with the values that I hold. Either way, the conversation that follows is a conversation in which I can gain insight about my faith and my life, or someone else. And so I encourage you to use those in that way, and I hope these will speak to your kids as we talk about them as well. So having said that, would you bow your heads and have a word of prayer with me? Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable to you. You truly are our strength and our redeemer. And so I ask you, Lord, to bless these words. Without you, they are nothing. With you, they can become something. And so watch over us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the movie I saw this past week was Madagascar 3, which is out in the theaters. I can say that as a parent, I've seen all three of the Madagascar films. I have enjoyed them. I do not think they will ever go down as the top 100 films of all time. But this one made me laugh out loud a couple times, and for that, I'm appreciative. So if you've seen these movies, you know that the main characters, there are four main characters, and they're all good friends. There is Melman the giraffe and Gloria the hippo and Alex the lion and the zebra. Help me. Marty, thank you. Marty the zebra. Yes. That's why I need kids to be in these services, just for that purpose. Marty the zebra. And these really are enjoyable characters because they all were good friends in New York City where they lived in a zoo. And then, for some reason, they went to Madagascar. I can't even remember how they got on that ship, but they went there, and that was a couple movies ago. And ever since then, they've been trying to get back to New York City and to the zoo. I don't know why you'd want to go back to the zoo when you live in the plains of Africa, but whatever, that's fine. In this movie, they are trying to get across Europe so that they can get home. And to do that, they have joined a zoo, because one of the problems they have is they are animals. You kind of forget that during the movie. But they are, in fact, animals, so they've got to go incognito, and the way they do it this time is they get on a circus train. And so that's sort of the plot line of this film. I share that with you. As I watched this film, there were times when I watched their interaction, and I thought, friendship is a beautiful thing. Even when it's animated friendship on the movie screen. Even when it's cartoon characters. Friendship is just a wonderful thing. All of us need friends. The older I get, the more I believe that. We all need friends. You know, when you were a child, you knew that intuitively. One of the things I really like about kids is if you put kids in a room, they will make friends eventually with somebody. And they'll do it just on their own, organically. They'll just figure it out. And you take a kid to a family reunion, right, with a bunch of cousins, people they live across the country, and they're going to complain all the way to the family reunion. It's been my experience. We don't know anybody, but their family, I don't know who they are. But once you get them there, and they're like stuck there, especially little kids, it'll take them about 20 minutes, and they'll scope out the room and go, all right, and they'll make a friend. You know why that is? Because God designed you for friendship. One of the first comments that God makes about human beings in the Bible is after Adam is created. And God observes Adam, and the Lord, there's a thought in the scripture, it was not good for Adam to what? To be alone. Now, that's actually a precursor to God creating Eve and a precursor to marriage as a lifelong relationship. But before you get to Eve and to marriage, you have a truth. Humans are designed for community. That's why some of you, if you're new to this area and you haven't made friends with people yet, that's why you feel a longing and even sort of a hurting place. Because there's nothing like friendship. That's why if you've lost a friend, a loved one recently to death or maybe they moved out of the area, it's always described as a loss. Because you're made for friendship. All of us need friends. And the question becomes, what will we do with that need? The scripture clearly speaks from it. And during this series, we'll be using wisdom literature, what's called wisdom literature, twice in the Proverbs. I think two of them may come from the Psalms. I really can't remember right now, but we'll give it to you as the weeks come. In Proverbs 27, you know that we've got wisdom literature because they're short, pithy sayings that are true. You read them and you just go, wow, that's kind of true. That's how you know you're in the wisdom literature of the Bible. So Psalm 27, look at this verse that's up on the screen. Verse 10, do not forsake your friend or a friend of your family. And do not go to your relative's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a relative far away. Now, my experience of reading the Bible is that's a pretty unusual text because the Bible speaks strongly about family. And you might read that and say, wow, is the Bible anti-family? No, not at all. In fact, when the Bible is written, people live much more in closer proximity and in clans than we do today. Most of us live across the state or across the country. Some of us live across the globe from our families. So what's the truth that's in this text? Here's the truth. Typically, your family cannot be your first responder. Typically, your family, even in biblical times, apparently. So here's the deal. If somebody walked in here right now, because I'm close to my family. My parents live an hour away. I've got a brother in Charlottesville. I've got another brother who lives in North Carolina. Right now, if somebody walked in that door and said, Tom, your brother just called and they've got a crisis. Right now, I would say, Barbara, you've heard this sermon twice. You'll do just fine. Thank you very much. You can handle Holy Communion. I've already received that. I received the sacrament, and now I'm leaving. And here's what I know. Even if I drove to my parents' house an hour away, you know who would meet me at the door? A friend. Because their friends live in such proximity that the friend will be the first responder. I'll be there as long as I need to because I'm family. And you've got that in your life too. In fact, you are that person for somebody. Probably everybody in here has somebody who they'd call. Or you would be called. And the scripture says, don't forsake those friendships. Pay attention to having those friends. Build that into your life. Because the truth is, better a neighbor nearby than a relative far away. I'm going to add a little section there, when everything's falling apart. And so as we think about that, part of what the scripture is speaking to is found in verse 1 of chapter 27. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Now, if you think, doesn't that sound like you've heard that somewhere else? Look in the Gospel of Matthew and read the Sermon on the Mount, and you'll hear Jesus say something almost identical to this. Don't boast about tomorrow, for you don't know what the day may bring. And what the Bible is saying is, your life is uncertain. Some of you experienced that recently, wouldn't you agree? Right? Weather looks fine. I mean, everything's fine. You go in your house, it's getting towards evening, all of a sudden a storm blows up, pretty soon, before you know it, there's a tree in the middle of your roof. It's weird that way, how life happens. You know, all of a sudden you don't have electricity. All of a sudden you're wondering, you know, how are you going to keep the power on? This is what life is like. And the scripture says, because you don't know what the day may bring, create safety nets in your life called friends. Are there people you can depend on? Is there somebody that's going to show up? And friends, if you don't have someone like that in your life right now, I want you to be thinking about something. Could God be calling you to begin to pray for that friend to enter your life? Could it be that what God's calling you to do is to begin to pray regularly and say, God, can you help me be the kind of person who becomes that friend? God, could you help bring a friend into my life? Because when Tom said it's not good for us to be alone, and that's what the Bible says, I get that right now. Friendship is critical. Now, what I want to say is, it's also critical if you're a parent to be thinking about what you teach your kids about friendships. Because the truth is, not everybody is a good friend. There are some people that in your child's life, as they get older and they you know, go to middle school and they go to high school and they go on to college, part of what they've got to do is become discerning about friends and imposter friends. Because not every person who says they're your friend is your friend. And one of the things that Proverbs 27 does is it tries to help us clarify what is it. One of the things it says is this: friends call out the best in you. Friends will always call out the best. And listen, help your children know what this looks like, because you will not be able to make friends for them. As much as, you know what's really bad? You can't even pick their boyfriends. I mean, you don't know what they're going to drag home at any given moment, right? And there he shows up, and you're like, wow, did I not teach you? Honestly, one of the great blessings of our life, Karen and I together, is, with one brief exception, every young man that our daughters have brought home has been somebody I really liked. Every one of them. In fact, a couple of them, seriously, I would have signed papers on right then. But the point is this. The point is, when they bring that person home and I get to know them a little bit over time, and I start to think, wow, you are a high-quality person. What, as a parent, what it does is you just think, I am so glad whatever conversations we had that helped my kids figure out that was a good person in their life, whether it's a friend or a boyfriend, whatever. Wow, that means the world to you. And maybe you have parents who have older kids, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It is huge. So have the conversations when they're here, because eventually they're going to be here. Actually, one of those boys is here, and so you want to think about that. So here's the point. The scripture says this in verse 17, and think about this. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens the other. Now, think about biblical times, how many implements they had to sharpen all the time. How many knives, how many axes, how many pruning shears. In biblical times, people did not throw things away the way we do. In our world, if a blade starts to get dull, in many of the things that you use, you either don't sharpen it and use it dull. Right now, some of you are thinking about your lawnmower. Or you just kind of get a new one, right? But in biblical times, they sharpen things all the time because they... I heard a quote recently that was attributed to Abraham Lincoln. I have no idea if that's true or not. But the quote was, if I had 4 hours to cut down a tree, I'd spend the first one sharpening the axe. Do your friends sharpen you or dull you? See, if you're in college and you've got a paper due Thursday and a friend comes by and pushes and pushes and pushes until you say, okay, I'll go out with you tonight on Wednesday. Not a friend. If that was a friend, the first time they heard, I've got a paper due tomorrow morning, they'd say, oh, hey, you need to get that done. I'll see you later. We'll go out. We'll celebrate when the paper's done. If you're in high school and you sit at a lunch table and your friend does nothing during lunch period but talk about the other students in ugly ways, not a friend. Why? Because they are dulling your edge, not sharpening it. If you've got a bunch of guys that you play cards with, and while you all play cards, you talk about how lousy marriage is and how bad you've got it, and nobody ever says to you, hey, wait a minute. Not a friend. That's dulling the edge. Now, does that mean I have to leave the friends? No, no, no. But it does mean that you need to speak in such a way that you change the conversation. Now, in the movie, in Madagascar 3, there's this scene where they join the circus. And they decide that the four main characters who've never been in the circus before, they decide they're going to have to help out. And so the giraffe, Melman, thank you. Yes, Melman. Melman the giraffe gets up on the high wire, and he's up on the high wire, and he takes like one step out, and all of a sudden he's just shaking like crazy. He's just very, very, very scared to be up there. He knows that he doesn't know what he's doing. And so Gloria, the hippo, she gets on the other side, and she looks at Melman. She says, Melman, you can do this. You can do it. It's just like dancing. And he says, I can't dance either. Even in private, I'm terrible. I don't know what to do with my arms. Now, get over the fact that a giraffe and a hippo on a high wire right now. The physics of that doesn't work, and I know that, but it's just a movie, okay? The point is, when Gloria's over here, she doesn't spend her time looking at Melman going, wow, you are terrible at that. She says, Melman, you can do this. Are you the friend that calls out the best in somebody else? Are you the friend that says to the other person, or giraffe, as the case may be, hey, here's what you need to do. Gloria eventually looks and says, Melman, look at me. Just look at me. And by the end of this little routine, they're dancing on the high wire. Do you help anybody dance on a high wire? Friends, I want to tell you something. You've got to be a friend to have a friend. And there are seasons in our life where it's hard to be a friend. But at the end of the day, to the extent that we call the best out of others, we find that they tend to call the best out of us. And you may think, Tom, is this really a church thing? Absolutely. I want to tell you, I think that friendship is one of God's means of grace. And if anything, the church has been guilty of not talking enough. Because there is nothing you interact with more in your life than friendships and relationships. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. But friends do more than encourage us. They also say hard things to us. Friends that are friends speak the truth in love. You've got friends that will feed you honey all day long, every day. They'll only say nice things about you and what you do. You put anything in front of them, they'll say, that's great, that's awesome. They'll feed you hungry until you have obesity of the personality, where you just get too large. Part of what friends do is they speak the truth, but they speak it in love. Now, I want to give you an image to think about speaking the truth in love, because to the extent we can help our kids learn to speak the truth in love, we help them become mature. And to the extent they can hear it, they become more mature. So, if you have a pain right here, about right here, and you go to a doctor and they go, hey, does this hurt? And you go, that really hurts. And eventually they say, you know what, we think you've got an appendix that's about to rupture. They can heal you. A surgeon can heal you of that problem. But before they can heal you, what does she have to do? She has to wound you. She has to wound you. She actually has to create an incision around here. And then she can grab your appendix and just pop that sucker right out of there. But she can't, listen, here's what she can't do. If all she's willing to do is say, well, I'm sorry that hurts, but you've got a really good looking side right there. Nice muscle tone, strengthening core, very good. She can't heal you with that. To heal you, she has to wound you. Here's what I want you to know is that friendships, when we speak the truth in love, a part of what we have to do, and look at verses 5 and 6. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be what? Trusted. But an enemy will just do one thing. What? Multiply kisses. Friend, you know, listen, the enemy will go, oh, everything's good, everything's good, everything's good. But the friend will say, now, here's the way that image is helpful. You want to know a good surgeon? One of the factors a good surgeon thinks about is minimizing the wound. See, a good surgeon is really thinking, how small of an incision do I have to create to heal you? A good friend is going to do the same thing with his or her words. They're going to use, and this is why, honestly, sometimes siblings, kids in your home, sometimes siblings, you can say things to each other that are blistering, right? And you may be right, but the way you said it was blistering. It was not in love. And so what you did is you said, we're going to remove the appendix and we're going to have to open you from stem to stern, right? Listen, that's not love and that's not friendship. Friendship is when you go, oh, we can do it with about this much. Just enough to give you an interesting story on the beach, not so much as to make you crazy wounded. Now, some people, when they talk to you and they point out something that's wrong with you, they start with what's wrong with you here and they go to here. And along the way, they get at the one thing they were trying to say. That's not a friend. Friends are very precise in how they do this, and the reason is they love you. They care for you. But listen, somebody has to say the truth. And one of the difficulties that many of us struggle with is we're often not hearing it, and we're not saying it. So in this movie, Madagascar 3, they want to join the circus, and they're thinking this is an easy ticket back to New York City because the circus will do well, and then they'll get a contract to go to America because they're in Europe. And then when they go to Europe, they'll just jump on the bus or the boat with them, and they'll all be well. And so they see, these four friends see the circus for the first time, and this is them watching this circus for the very first time. And this is a very quick clip.
Okay, strike up in the band.
You have a band?
Prepare to be blown away!
Blow me away!
Here we go! Yay! Look at this! Whoa. Hey! It's nice to be home! Oh.
When your band is a boombox, when your juggler can't juggle, when your tiger will only go through a ring that's twice as big as he is because he's afraid of the smaller one, when your jaguar only sits up and rolls over and can't do anything else, that's what we call a bad circus, right? Now, here's what I want you to think about. Is there a hard conversation with a friend that you've been putting off for a long time? Is there something that's just painfully obvious to everyone else when they watch it, but nobody's saying it to them? Or is there something a friend's been trying to say to you gently, but you're not listening? Hey, you know what? When you talk to your son, sometimes when I'm here and I hear you talking to your son, it's so harsh that I feel like, because I care about your son, because he's your son, I feel like I want to pull that boy aside and say, it's not as bad as your dad's making it sound. And as a friend, can I just encourage you to find a way to pull up what's also good in this young man? Because I think he needs to hear that as well as the other. Hey, can I be honest with you? I've been trying to figure out how to say this to you. I am worried about your health. We're together a lot. I know you really well. And I'm worried about your health habits. I'm afraid that if you stay on this trajectory, you're going to limit your life. And you are a terrific person. You've got so many gifts. And you've been given good health. And a lot of people don't even get that. And I think you're going to have to really... I want to encourage you to think about what you're eating and whether you're exercising and all that stuff. It matters. And I care about you. It's the only reason I'm saying it. You see what I'm saying? Who can say that to you? Who can you say that to? You want to know a real friend? A friend is someone who can speak the truth, but they do it in love. They don't go here to here. They just go right here. But they want to help you. And if you've got somebody that you consider a friend, listen, I had to do a presentation at our annual conference last week, and I shared it with two friends of mine the night beforehand, and they looked at two paragraphs and said, wow, everything's good except these two paragraphs are terrible. And I said, oh, wow, really? And they said, yeah, really. I mean, terrible. And I said, okay, they didn't say terrible, but it was close. I'm summarizing. And I said, so you think I need to change that? They said, no, we think you need to not say that. And honestly, here's how I felt. I was like, but my words are like my children. They're beautiful. Look at them. But I thought, who do I trust right now, me or them? And so the next day I didn't say that. And you know what? Thank goodness I didn't. Here's one last thing I want to say about this issue. Because here's what you're going to be tempted to do. You're going to be tempted to go, wow, Tom said speak the truth in love, and I've got 15 people I'm going to say some things to. Honestly, sometimes when I say something like this in a sermon, my phone just begins to light up the next week because people are like, you know what so-and-so said to me after you, they heard your sermon? No, no, no. Here's the deal. I did not just tell you to straighten out the world. That's what dysfunctional people do. In your life, you have, beyond your family, you have probably 2 to 3 people you can do this with. And that's about it. I'm talking about your closest friends. I'm not giving you the encouragement from the scripture to straighten everybody out. I'm saying there's an element of friendship that's speaking the truth in love. Last thing, friends, I'm hoping you'll give me that third point because I can't remember. Yes, friends see what we miss. That's it. Friends see what we miss. My friend in the sound booth just helped me see what I was missing. Proverbs 27:9 says this, perfume and incense. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart. And the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. Sometimes the words of a friend are like perfume and incense. They just take a lot of the bad fumes out of the air. There's nothing like a friend. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing like somebody that looks at you and says, yeah, you can. I love friends who sometimes have more confidence in me than I have confidence. It's like they're a stepping stone to something else. I read an account this past week of two guys that were are rock climbers. That's a lot of their friendship is around rock climbing. Richard and Kevin. And Richard said he was up on this rock face. He was about 45 feet in the air. And Kevin was belaying him, which means that he was holding the safety rope. Kevin was essentially his brake. If he fell unexpectedly and without control, it was Kevin's job to pull the rope in such a way that it stopped, it would break his fall before he hit the ground. So Richard was up on this rock face, he's climbing, and all of a sudden he slips and he releases and he falls a few feet and Kevin stops him. And Richard's thinking, he just thought to himself, I'm exhausted, I'm done, I didn't succeed, so be it. And he turns down to his belayer and he says, falling, meaning you can let me down now. And he's dangling there and he hears something. No. And Richard said, actually what's supposed to happen at this moment is this is when your friend says, okay, and brings you down, and then says, hey, good try, and pats you on the back and says, you did well, even though you didn't make it. Sorry you didn't make it. We'll do it next time. You'll be fine. He said, I was kind of waiting for that. And so Richard yells again, falling. And Kevin yells again, no. And Richard thinks to himself, I need a new friend. This is not what friends do. Friends let us down. And then he heard Kevin say, you, just like this, you can do this. You don't have far to go, and you can handle this. And so Richard said, he decided, okay. And he reached out, and he started climbing. He got about another foot up the rock face, and he fell again. And he said, I'm done. And Kevin said, no. And so Richard said, he thought, all right, one more time. And he got back on the rock face, and he said within a few minutes, he was standing on top of the plateau he was trying to reach. Now, here's what I want to ask you. Can you think of somebody, no matter what age you are, can you think of somebody that you've helped get to the top? Can you think of somebody who's been on the high wire and you said to them, you can do this? Can you think of somebody who said, I'm beat, I'm done, and you said to them, try it one more time? Can you think of someone who you believed in more than they did at a given moment? And if you can't think of one of those instances quickly, I want to invite you to pray about who, what friend needs to hear that word. And there are two to three people in your life that only you can do that for, because you've got that level of credibility with them. You know what the great thing about these kids' movies is? They're almost always about friendship. Almost always, kids' movies are almost always about friendships. The first thing they do is eliminate the parents. Have you ever noticed that? It's a little weird, frankly. But these kids' movies are almost always about friendship. And here's the truth. You're always going to need friends in your life. Always. Some of the oldest people I respect the most in this church have been people that I watched in their 90s make new friends because their friends had died. And so they found new friends. It's just lifelong. I think it's one of God's means of grace. I think it's a calling that you have in your life, and I think it's a hope of your heart, because I think it's one way that God speaks to you. So we're about to receive another means of grace right now. And I want to invite you, as you receive communion today, that one of the things you pray about is pray for your friends and ask God, hey God, am I being a friend to others? And think about that along with whatever you bring to communion today. And let's receive the sacrament.